I remember in the mid-80s finding out that my uncle, one of my favourite people in the world, had HIV. And that was when the virus was still incredibly frightening. We had the Grim Reaper campaign, if it's not on, it's not on, the song Roll It On Robbie, for those who remember back that far. And Paul was a part of many trials of new drugs, some of which helped for a while, but most were too new to elongate his life, and he died in his mid-30s. I still miss his intelligence, his laugh, and his quick-fire backhand volley. And I know the rest of my extended family feel the same way. So December 1st is World AIDS Day, and I thought you and I could find out the latest on the treatment of people with the disease, both socially and medically. Chris Howard is Executive Program Manager of QPP, we'll find out what that stands for in a second, and Treasurer Secretary of the National Association of People with HIV Australia. Chris, hello.
Hello, Kelly.
What is QPP?
So QPP stands for Queensland Positive People, and we are a peer-based organisation based here in Queensland, providing a range of services for people with HIV. Including case management services, peer navigation, advocacy for people who may be discriminated against. And also we provide HIV and STI testing for people at risk of HIV.
As I said just a moment ago, I remember the 80s and the early days of HIV/AIDS and the fear that surrounded it. What is community feeling like now for people living with HIV?
I'm glad you mentioned the mid-80s. That was the time I was also diagnosed with HIV back in 1986. And there was much hysteria in the community. There was fear and there was ignorance. Today, however, it's quite a bit different. And it's mainly different due to greater levels of awareness amongst people in the community. But also, it's a better future for people with HIV with more effective treatment.
And with that treatment, is that something that will now prolong a person's life markedly?
Yes. So these days, if you take treatment shortly after being diagnosed with HIV, you are most likely going to live a normal life expectancy. So treatment these days are highly effective. Unlike the treatments you mentioned earlier in your introduction, it's simple. Mm. It's generally one tablet twice a day or one tablet daily.
That's so easy.
It is incredibly easy compared to the many medications that people used to take in the early years.
Yeah, and we're test participants for the entire community.
They were. Similarly, I participated in many clinical trials. Mm. In fact, I owe the fact that I'm alive today to one of those trials back in the mid-1990s. And they were the trials that were the protease inhibitors, which changed the face of HIV and stopped the virus dead in its tracks.
So how has this year of the COVID-19 pandemic, Chris, been for those with HIV? Has it brought some of that earlier trauma to the surface?
That's a really great question, and it's one I'm glad that you asked, because yes, it has. The emergence of COVID-19 essentially is the first pandemic since HIV and AIDS. Mm. And it was really traumatising and triggering for me as a person diagnosed back in those days. And I saw many similarities, particularly with COVID emerging in Wuhan in China, and seeing Asian people publicly vilified and spat on because they were identified as people who were the vectors of disease, if you like. And we saw that back in the early days with HIV as well, where gay people were demonised, as you mentioned in the Grim Reaper commercial, as being the vectors of disease. Unlike COVID-19, we don't see that discrimination and stigma so widely now. People generally demonstrate compassion and empathy. However, unlike COVID, we still see HIV quite stigmatised by people in the community.
And we've been lucky to have little transmission, community transmission anyhow, of COVID-19 in Queensland. Is HIV considered one of those pre-existing conditions that could make people more susceptible to harmed by COVID terribly or even for it to be a fatality?
People with HIV are at no greater risk of contracting COVID-19 or developing severe illness unless they have other comorbid conditions such as cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes, or are severely immunocompromised.
Okay, so in itself, it's not considered something that would make you more susceptible to the worst of COVID.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. World AIDS Day today, December 1st. What's the theme for this year?
So the theme for this year is now more than ever, it's time to remember. And it's important because there were over globally 75 million people who have been impacted by HIV and AIDS. There are 38 million people living with HIV and AIDS today, and 33 million people have died of AIDS. So it's really important that we remember the lives of those people. We remember their courage, their bravery, their sacrifice, and their contribution to the lives of people with HIV.
Chris, as you're going down this path yourself of memories, because you're giving a couple of very personal speeches as part of World AIDS Day, what are you remembering about those you've lost over the years?
It's been really difficult, to be very frank with you, Kelly, about pulling together a speech of personal lived experience. There were many memories over the years of many people that I'd lost to AIDS. I remember much pain, much suffering, much death and loneliness among these people, many who didn't have people caring for them. They didn't have friends or family. Many died alone, and many died with great pain. So it's a time of sadness, but it's also a time of celebration to remember them, that their lives were not lives that were lived in vain, that they did make a difference. And World AIDS Day, and particularly the Candlelight Vigil, is about shining a light and making visible their stories and their memories.
How then has living with HIV changed over the years? Obviously, you've got a prolonged life expectancy, which is magnificent, but what are the other changes that have happened?
So there has been quite amazing progress in the way that HIV is treated and managed. So, as I mentioned earlier, people being diagnosed with HIV today can expect to live a normal life expectancy if treated. We now see with effective treatment that people achieving a sustained undetectable viral load cannot transmit HIV. So that's really groundbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
To see. And that has helped in reducing stigma related to people with HIV. But there's still a way to go.
Chris Howard is with me this evening on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland. I'm Kelly Higgins-Devine. Chris is Executive Program Manager at QPP, Queensland Positive People, and also Treasurer and Secretary of the National Association of People with HIV Australia. Chris, are young people still heeding the, if it's not on, it's not on message that was, basically pummeled into us in the 80s?
Kelly, I remember that campaign very clearly.
It was actually a good campaign. It was simply, if it's not on, it's not on.
Well, it's a good campaign. You remember it, So that's a good thing. I think these days, with such effective treatment for HIV, we also have PrEP, so that's pre-exposure prophylaxis. So for people who are at higher risk of contracting HIV, they can take PrEP to prevent the acquisition of HIV. We also have really good strategies through PEP. So PEP is post-exposure prophylaxis. So for people who may have been exposed to the virus, taking a course of medication for 1 month afterwards. And condoms, of course, are always a really good way to protect yourself, not only from HIV, but also from STIs.
Yeah. How would someone disclose their status now?
So that's really interesting.
I suppose there are a million different ways of doing it. It's not one size fits all, if you'll pardon the terrible pun.
No, that's a good pun. And it requires no pardoning. So in terms of disclosing one's HIV status, it really is a very personal decision. It really is for someone to carefully consider the implications of their disclosure, who they're disclosing to, why they're disclosing, and so forth. We do know that people with undetectable viral load are generally feeling more confident to disclose their status. But as I said, stigma is pervasive and people still stigmatise people with HIV.
Well, let's hope that every year we get a step closer to that stigma being completely gone. And I've learned a lot. I hope that today is just a wonderful day of celebration and commemoration for everyone involved in the HIV community, be it people with living with HIV or their loved ones and friends.
Thanks, Kelly.
And that's Chris Howard from Queensland Positive People.